Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel radio and literature ministry. Each week, the Bible teaching broadcasts of Heralds of Hope circle the globe in English and 21 other major languages. And our Bible teaching programs in several languages are available all the time and anytime at the website twr360.org. Now, for the past few weeks on Hope for Today, we've been studying from the closing verses of Daniel chapter 11 and the first few verses of chapter 12. Our study is titled, The Time of the End. So far, we've learned that this king of the end time will be different than all the other kings before him. He will honor the God of fortresses, or in other words, he will worship military power in a way that none other has done before him. He will demonstrate his worship of this military power by offering to it gold and silver with precious stones and costly gifts. Whatever it is that makes him more powerful will be highly valued and honored. We said this is his singular focus. And then he will have a singular finish. In spite of all his victories and all his wealth, verse 45 speaks clearly of that singular finish. It says, He shall come to his end with none to help him. And Revelation 19:17-21 describes the destruction of the beast and his armies at the second coming of Jesus Christ. So stay with me now as we resume our study, and I will read Daniel chapter 11, verse 40 to chapter 12, verse 3.
The king of the south shall attack him, and the king of the north shall come against him like a whirlwind, with chariots, horsemen, and with many ships. And he shall enter the countries, overwhelm them, and pass through. He shall also enter the glorious land, and many countries shall be overthrown. But these shall escape from his hand, Edom, Moab, and the prominent people of Ammon. He shall stretch out his hand against the countries, and the land of Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver, and over all the precious things of Egypt. Also, the Libyans and Ethiopians shall follow at his heels. But news from the east and from the north shall trouble him. Therefore he shall go out with great fury to destroy and annihilate many. And he shall plant the tents of his palace between the seas and the glorious holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and no one will help him. At that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars for ever and ever. I also want you to notice the double reference to your people in this first verse. This may have a bearing on our understanding of verse 2. Verse 2, I acknowledge, is difficult to understand and to explain. And in our understanding of all things prophetic, we need to be kind and gracious even when we disagree. Now first, notice with me that this is not a general resurrection. The text says, many of those who sleep in the earth shall awake. Many, but not all. Is this resurrection limited to the Jewish people who are martyred during this time of the end?
perhaps. Some commentators insist that this is not a physical resurrection, but a spiritual one. But that ignores the literal meaning of the term as it's used throughout Scripture. Bible teachers who spiritualize this resurrection interpret the first part of the verse as pertaining to Israel's restoration. But then they pass over the second part of the verse that addresses those who are raised to shame and everlasting contempt. It's clear Revelation 20 verses 12 and 13 teach us that the dead are raised literally for their final judgment. So this same verb must also mean resurrection for the righteous. The meaning of the word awake is the same in both instances. John Woolford, in his commentary, states, and I quote, "What is presented here is that those who have died will be raised from the dead to join those living in this period of restoration. Israelites who survived the tribulation and who are the object of divine deliverance that's promised in Romans 11:26 will be joined by Old Testament saints who will be raised from the dead. This will occur after the Great Tribulation and at the Second Coming of Christ." That's the end of the quote. One key to help us understand this verse better, verse 2, is a more accurate translation. And the original Hebrew seems to draw a sharp distinction between the two classes of resurrection. Samuel Tregelles, a British theologian, supported the translation that was offered by earlier Jewish commentators. Here it is. "And many from among the sleepers of the dust of the earth shall awake. These shall be to everlasting life. But those, the rest of the sleepers, who do not awake at this time, shall be unto shame and everlasting contempt." Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6, speak of those who were martyred because they refused to worship the beast or to receive his mark. And these are noted as living and reigning with Christ for 1,000 years. Verse 5 then clearly states, "But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished." This is the first resurrection. The second resurrection is revealed in verses 12 and 13, again from Revelation chapter 20. "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works." So these verses clearly teach more than one resurrection. A literal reading of Revelation 20 indicates that the resurrection of the righteous occurs at the beginning of Christ's millennial reign, and the resurrection of the wicked takes place at the end of that 1,000-year period. There's something else to keep in mind here. There are gaps that often occur in Old Testament prophecy. Events that are included in the same passage of Scripture are separated by an indefinite and an unspecified amount of time. Isaiah 61, 1 and 2 is a prime example. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn," and so on. In verse 2, Christ's first and second advent are addressed, but there's no indication of the many years of time between them. When Jesus read this scripture in the synagogue in Nazareth, he abruptly stopped reading in the middle of the sentence. There's more we could say on verse 2, but I don't want to belabor the point. So let's move on then to the final verse of our text, chapter 12 and verse 3. "Those who exercise wisdom shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. Those who turn many to righteousness will shine like the stars forever and ever." Take note that in this verse, only the reward of the righteous is mentioned. There's nothing about the punishment of the wicked. Again, according to Revelation 20, which we looked at just a few moments ago, their resurrection won't occur until 1,000 years later. The main point is that the righteous, dead or living, can look forward to a glorious reward at the second coming of Christ. Who are the wise that are spoken of in this verse? The wise are those who are able to see through the deception and the wickedness and the unbelief of their time. They are those who will put their trust in eternal values to the point of sacrificing their physical lives. And their reward is they will shine with the celestial glory of the heavens forever and ever. We learn from verse 2 that these wise ones will receive eternal life. And this is the first occurrence of this expression in the Old Testament. It's interesting in verse 3 that these will be given additional glory because of those who have turned to righteousness because of their faithful testimony. The statements of verse 3 echo the events of chapter 11 and verses 33 to 35, but they are not limited to the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, because there have been faithful followers of God in every generation, and there will continue to be faithful followers of God until the end of time as we know it. Now, whether or not you agree with my conclusions that I've reached in this teaching, there are some important questions we must ask ourselves. First, am I one of the faithful ones? Am I wise enough to see through the wickedness, the deception, and the unbelief of our time and put my faith and trust in things of eternal value? What about my choices? Do the choices I make each day reflect that I value eternal things far above the earthly and temporary things? Is my life lived in such a way that it is turning many to righteousness? When I stand before God as His follower, and my works are judged, how much of them will be wood and hay and stubble? How much will be gold and silver and precious stones? How many of my good deeds will be burned up, and how many of them will be refined and purified, found worthy of an eternal reward? Today, you and I still have time to make a difference in our own lives, in the lives of others, and in our world. But I must remind you, time is running out. The indicators of the time of the end that the prophets and Jesus predicted are all around us. It seems that we're living in the last of the last days. The time of the end is near. Are you ready? My friend, were you blessed by this teaching? If so, you can request an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, The Time of the End. The quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org. That is mail@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, when you write, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Time of the End. I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to mail@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533, and ask for your free copy of this teaching, The Time of the End, either in print or on an audio CD. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study in the book of Daniel. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.